Good morning. If you would, let's go back to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1. Recently, I overheard one side of a conversation and the theme caught my attention. I kept hearing phrases such as, "We just don't know." How can they know? They don't know. I don't know. Isn't that a familiar thing to all of us? Just don't know. Then just this past week, we've been reminded once more how swiftly our life here changes and just how near is the day of salvation. Our brother Roy, being saved by God's grace while he was here with us, now knows the day of his salvation. Uncertainty, brevity, passing, all of these things we live with every day. They're the only certainty that all of us have. Every nationality, every race, every creed, we all have only this certainty, uncertainty, brevity, and passing. Gabe recently brought a message, so much to be thankful for. And as he introduced his last point, he said something to the effect that because of the frequency of this passage's use, we don't always enter into it like he had during his study. He was referring to Romans 8:28, "And we know." How thankful I am of the certainty of God's word. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." And before Gabe revealed the scripture he was talking about, the scripture that's our text this morning came to my mind. With all the uncertainty in the world, with all the fearful news that is presented from every side, I crave a sure, a certain, a comforting word, and this is the passage that was laid to my heart. 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Listen to that statement one more time. And may God lay it onto our hearts. This is a statement, a declaration that, as in the Old Testament, could be prefaced with, "Thus saith the Lord." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This morning, we're going to camp in this text. This text, which some of the old writers described as a summary of the Bible, summary of the entire gospel, and look at this text word by word. And I pray we will see who it is that will receive this declaration as good news. Sinners. Who saved us? Christ Jesus. How did he do it? He came. Where did he come to? Into the world. And what he accomplished? He saved us. First, let's look at who will receive this as good news. How often have we read this verse? How often have I read this verse and glossed over it? Read the words, their statement of fact. By God's grace, I believe them with my whole heart. But what a glorious, profound, and comforting statement this is when we stop to read just 9 little words. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who is going to benefit and rejoice most when they read this statement? Sinners. Sinners are going to be those who rejoice. All right? Who is a sinner? Who are these sinners? From a very early age, all of our children can answer this question. They're taught it in the Sunday school classes. And they'll quickly answer. You ask them, who is a sinner? And they're going to say, everyone. They've been taught the scriptures. Excuse me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Then does that mean, based on those two scriptures, based on this text, does that mean that Christ Jesus came into the world to save all that sin? To save all who are declared to be unrighteous? Every soul on earth knows, our own conscience testifies against us, that we are sinners. Hold your place here and let's go over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. We'll be right back to 1 Timothy. Romans 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, the law was not revealed to the Gentiles as it was to the Jews. They didn't have God. God didn't speak to a Gentile and give them the tablets of stone. He didn't give them the prophets. He gave that to Israel. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, These Gentiles, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, proving that all of us by nature know we are sinners before God. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Our conscience bears witness against us and cries to us that we are sinners separated from God. You can go back to 1 Timothy now. But outside of God's grace, we will excuse ourselves and we will change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. We will consider God to be like ourselves. A few years ago, my boys asked, Dad, the Bible says that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And it says all of us are sinners, so aren't we all saved? Them asking this question is a perfect example of our natural reasoning And our fulfillment of the scripture in 2 Peter 3:16 says in part, they that are unlearned and unstable, that's every one of us, that have not been taught of God, they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. All of us by nature take the word of God and we pick out certain scriptures and we make that our gospel. We make that our salvation. We make that our hope. We reason within ourselves something like, if I can hold on to this one, if I can keep this command, if I can believe this one little portion of scripture, then I can come before God and rest in the fact that I didn't pick up a hammer and kill my brother when I was mad at him. That's my hope. I'm going to stand before the thrice holy God and hope, resting the scriptures to my own destruction. I tried to answer that question that the boys put to me those years ago, but I think I may have a better answer today than I did then. The heart of the question is, who will be saved? Just who are these sinners? We're taught, whether we remember it or not, in our grammar school, that a noun with the ending of er, before or after the prefix of a verb, means the doer of. A sinner is a doer of sin. But the word translated sinner here in our text goes a little bit deeper than just that doer of sin. This word means someone devoted to sin, captive by sin, wicked. When we look into our own hearts, when I look into my own heart, this natural heart that I have outside of Christ, I see that all that I desire, all that I long after, all that I want is wickedness. There is nothing in me that desires God. I am the fulfillment of Ecclesiastes 7:29. Lo, this only have I found, that God made man upright, but they, I, have sought out many inventions. That word inventions has the meaning of a warlike machine. My carnal mind is enmity against God. I am at war with God. I am wholly and completely devoted to sin. Who are these sinners that Christ Jesus came into the world to save? Are they those who testify, well, yes, I'm a sinner. I do bad things. But I tell you what, the good things I do outweigh my bad things. No. Those that Christ Jesus came to save are those who have been given the testimony, I am ungodly. I am an enemy against God. I am lost. I am corrupt. I am dead. I am undone before God. A person to whom God has revealed that this is their state. You can't know this by searching, We can't find it out of ourselves, but we can ask God to reveal it to us, to show us who we are without Christ. That person God has revealed that state to has reason to hope. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. They'll rejoice at that glorious declaration all the way to the chief of sinners. What is the hope of these sinners? More accurately, who is our hope? Our text answers, Christ Jesus. Christ, our Lord's office, the anointed of God, the Messiah, God the Son, God came into the world to save sinners. How did he come? As a man, as the man, Jesus of Nazareth. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God, the omniscient, omnipresent, thrice holy God, became a man. Turn over, hold your place here and turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is another scripture. We need to pause and really take a look here. May the Lord make it sink into our hearts. The Word, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God fixed His tabernacle among us. The eternal, holy God, who is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity, dwelt among us. Us, whose every imagination of the thoughts of our heart is evil from our youth. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We sinners, our hope of salvation is that God came in the likeness of sinful flesh to save us. It is Christ Jesus who has saved us. Back in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came. What does it mean that He came? Here's a question for you. How is it that God, who is omnipresent, always present, how can He come to where He already is? The answer is that a man is not present at all times. How thankful I am that our hope is a twofold answer. Our text doesn't say God came, and it doesn't say that Jesus, a man, came. But it specifically says the God-man, Christ Jesus, came. He came in a way that he had not revealed himself before. The Word was made flesh. Our eternal, immutable God, a spirit, prepared himself a body in which dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came at the time appointed. Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ Jesus came from the presence of the Father. He came in time once at the end of the world. And he came into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. He came a great distance. He came from the heights of glory. He came from the praise and adoration of the heavenly host. He came from the eternal presence of his Father. He came into this world of sin and shame. He spanned a great gulf to come to where we are. He came into his creation, which he spoke into being. He came and he made himself subject. He came into the world, which is subject to the law he decreed. And he fulfilled that law as a man. He came into the world. One definition is, he came into the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of man alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came into the world of worldly affairs. God Almighty made himself to know what we are by becoming a man. He came into the world of worldly affairs. Hebrews 4:14-15 explains this. We have an high priest who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, knows what it is to be tempted. From the highest glory, our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. A world so foreign to the glories of heaven. A world bound by time. A world bound by the physical. A world of death. Just think of what little we know of heaven in contrast to our lives on this earth. We have read this scripture quite often here lately. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Death to us is as natural as breathing. It is always so close. We're always conscious of it. it permeate everything we do and motivates almost every decision, whether consciously or subconsciously. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow. Oh, our sorrow. We sorrow for our unbelief, for our sin, for our doubts, our fears, for our loved ones, for our community who know not God. Sorrow is always with us. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Our Lord came from glory to dwell in the earth. How our souls should rejoice. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, when we undertake to go on a long journey, particularly a journey that will separate us from our friends and our family, our loved ones, we go for a specific purpose. Whether that trip is for business or for pleasure, we always have a purpose behind the trip. When our Lord purposed to come and dwell among us, He had one specific reason. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Doesn't that cause your heart to cry out glory to God in the highest? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Almighty God became a man, became the God-man, made of a woman, made under His own law. He, God a spirit, was made flesh, and He knows by intimate experience. He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. Having taken upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh, in order to save sinners, He walked upon the earth in perfect righteousness, fulfilling the law and the prophets. Then Christ Jesus came unto His hour. And being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, we, by wicked hands, crucified Him. To save us ungodly, wicked, devoted to sin sinners, God Himself made Christ Jesus, God the Son, sin for us. Then He poured out His absolute justice that my sin deserves upon His Son, who shed His blood to pay the redemptive price that I owed but could not pay. He laid His life down for mine. And God hath raised Him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. Just how sure, how certain is this sinner's salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Because Christ satisfied and paid in full the debt we could not pay, verse 25, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. As long as Christ is upon his throne, as long as he liveth, the sinner's salvation is certain. What a great and glorious hope we have in Christ. When we consider all that is about us, be it physical, such as our bodies, the ground beneath us, the sky above us, governments, philosophies, whatever it is, all that we see is uncertainty and change. Part of Benjamin Franklin's letter is often quoted where he said, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." That summarizes man's certainty. Death and taxes. No hope. No joy. Aren't you thankful that God has given us a much more certain word than that? When we search about, when change and decay and all around I see, may God be pleased to draw us back to our sure foundation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Pray the Lord will make that a blessing to us.